Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful song, more than anything, especially in times such as these. He has to be more than anything in our lives. Giving all praises to God, to our deacons, deaconess, to the trustees, to members, family, friends, and guests this morning, both in person and online. We do count it a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We don't take it for advantage. We don't take it for granted. Because there are some people that celebrated and worship God in July, but don't have the opportunity to worship Him in August. Time has moved them from time to eternity. But God saw fit to allow us a little more time to get it right. Amen. Definitely want to recognize our own Dr. Bryant. This month of August, we wanted to look at a singular passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And so we want to look at just this passage for about four sermons that we're calling Fantastic Final Four. This singular passage for the month of August in the series, sermon series, is called The Fantastic Final Four. If you would, turn your attention with me to Acts chapter 42. And by the inspiration of God and by the pen of Luke, these words are recorded. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Again, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We read into your hearing Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We ask that there be a blessing to the hearing of God's word. This morning, we want to talk about a singular word, and it is study. Fantastic for the series. The sermon title for this morning is simply study. Thank you, Ursus. With the season of back to school, let it serve as a reminder to all of us that we must continue to commit and be devoted to the study of God's word. That we as a people, as a disciples of Jesus Christ, as followers of Him, we are called to be people who study. In this Acts chapter 2, we are told that Holy Spirit fused with these disciples of Jesus Christ. They became new creatures. They became disciples and apostles. They became witnesses of Jesus Christ. Some translations read, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the apostles' teaching. Now, in the early church did not have a bound Bible like we have, didn't have a Bible app like we have today, but they had knowledge of the Old Testament, and they had the apostles. There on that day of Pentecost, 120 people, the Spirit fell on them. The scripture says that they began to speak in foreign languages and different tongues, and people came and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Peter said, "Believe on Jesus Christ and be baptized in His name." Immediately, 3,000 came to the Lord. They came seeking Him. They came to learn of Him. And here we find 120 apostles, disciples and followers of Jesus now having to deal and minister to 3,000 new converts. Okay, y'all don't sound impressed by that. Let me see if I can impress you with those numbers. 120 people. Imagine a church in Austin, Texas decide that they're going to do a tailgate at UT. They're going to just do a simple tailgate, evangelize, witness, share with the Lord, a simple tailgate at UT. 120 people come and help them set up tables, cook, serve, witness, all of that, 120. Come Sunday morning, that 120 will want to just stand up and get praise for what they did on Saturday. But imagine if 3,000 people showed up Sunday morning, all seeking to know the Lord better. In reality, we have to deputize all of you. All of you would have to become servants. All of you would have to serve this massive crowd of 3,000. How did they do it? How did fishermen and tax collectors and regular guys, regular Joes, how was they able to set up immediately a school system on the fly? By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter became a principal. He became an overseer. He began to coordinate and organize and write up curriculum. These people had to know. The people came with a desire to learn. That's a mark of a believer. The mark of a believer is one who wants to know more about the Lord. Over and over again, Jesus tells us that we must learn of him. We must search the scriptures that we may discover him in the pages. Yes, they had an enormous task. The demand was outrunning the supply. The people were demanding lessons. They wanted to learn of the parables of Jesus. Wanted to learn of the miracles of Jesus. They wanted to learn of the life of Jesus. You can imagine they had a class one on parables, they had some on miracles, and then Matthew, he wanted to do an Old Testament review, and they're like, okay, Matthew, chill with that. But all of them had assignments and jobs. And yet, from this early community, the New Testament began to take shape as Matthew, John, and possibly even Mark was in this number trying to supply the demand, trying to meet the desires of the people to know more. Oh, they were blessed. They were blessed to have Mary in the company. Mary could share the stories of his upbringing, could share the story of his birth, could share the story of what God had done in their lives. These people came wanting to know. They wanted to be like the disciples, the apostles as eyewitnesses and direct disciples of Jesus were entrusted with accurately conveying his message and its implications. Their teaching would later form the basis of our Christian doctrine and practices. Yes, they had to meet an overwhelming demand. And you had different groups, you know. People learned at different levels. That was a mixed bag, this 3,000. It was, some people were from Jerusalem, so they would have known of the crucifixion. They would have known of the hearing of the resurrection. They would have been there on the day of Pentecost when these followers of Jesus were speaking in strange tongues. There was the wells in the city, lived there, knew where the grocery stores were, where the children's school were, where they went to Sabbath school. They knew all of that about Jerusalem. But then there were visitors, strangers to Jerusalem, those who have come just for the feast of the Passover, just come for that sacred holy day. But yet the disciples had to meet the needs of all of them. They had to organize, manage, superintendent. They had to be deans, counselors, aides, and assistants. They had to set up elementary, secondary schools. They had to set up all by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of God, ordinary men and women were doing extraordinary planning. We're doing extraordinary organizing, extraordinary lesson plans. Ordinary men, ordinary women was meeting the demand of the people. The new Christians had an instinctive desire for spiritual truth like a babe desires milk. They realized that they couldn't be ignorant. They had to know spiritual things and wanted to learn. They wanted to understand their faith and experience it more fully. Oh, today we need to go back to school, go back to church school, go back to Sunday school, go back to Wednesday night school. We got to learn of the ways of our Lord. It studied the apostles' doctrine, provided a strong biblical foundation for the early church. It's interesting. It's not a complete list. It's a fantastic final four. It's not a complete list, but at the top of the list is that they stayed with the apostles' doctrine. Oh, so often in this life, God has already provided us the information, but he put it in a book. You're going to have to get the book off the shelf, open up the book, and read the book. Now, this wasn't done in isolation. No, they weren't just reading to the people. They were teaching the people. And teaching takes place in community. It's in community that we learn together. We hear other people's point of view. We see it from a different angle. We think about it a different way. Oh, it's in this community of believers that they were studying together. Oh, I imagine it put a great demand on the apostles. The apostles had to study for themselves. They had to remember what Jesus had taught them. I remember a pastor was teaching me years ago, 20-some years ago, teaching me some things, and I wasn't half paying attention because I didn't think I needed any of it, what he was telling me. All that he was telling me, it made sense. I was respectful. I was listening, you know. I was nodding my head, but I didn't take notes. I didn't record anything. I didn't run home and make sure I jotted it down so I would never forget. I just listened. I just listened and listened. But then I had a couple of more Texas summers. My hair started turning gray. My steps started getting shorter. My eyes started getting dimmer. And then I realized all the things that he was trying to teach me was now coming to pass. And that's the way it works, brothers and sisters. We can't give you the information when you need the information. We got to give you the information before you need the information. You got to find out when to use the information. This is what the disciples had to do for these early converts, these early new believers. They had to set up a 3,000 member new members orientation. They had to set up for 3,000 certificates. They had to get 3,000 signatures. They had to get 3,000 baptized, get 3,000 white robes. 3,000 times they had to empty out the water and refill the pool. Well, no, I'm sorry. They probably just went down to a river and baptized. But you understand, they had all of this demand instantly put on them. And yet they was able to handle it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these people wasn't demanding job training skills. No, they weren't looking for certificates. They weren't looking for how to work on air conditioning certificates. They wanted to know the Word of God. They wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted to know more about God's plan in their lives. And the disciples was able to meet that need. they were able to supply to meet that demand. But not everything that we need is taught. Some of the things that we need is caught. Some things you have to just model before people. You can tell people about praying all you want. If they never see you praying, they won't pick it up. Most of us prayer warriors at a prayer warrior, we saw somebody else modeling prayer in front of us. We saw somebody else praying in a time of trouble. I remember a few years ago, we was in a car accident. I think I shared this story with you once before. I was in a car accident, and all I could hear was this person calling me out of my name. They were calling me everything but a child of God. They sound like some drunken sailors outside of my car, and they was talking about me, and they were going off on me. And I was trying to get out the car. I was trying to get out the car so that we could have a calm conversation. I wanted to explain to them my side of the story. You hit me. What you talking about? Why? But my mother was in the car at the time, and she said, Junior, we need to pray. Thank God I had somebody in that car that knew it was time to pray. My instincts had kicked in. My feelings had kicked in. What I wanted to do had kicked in. But thanks be to God, there was somebody there that knew it was praying time. Even if you're not a prayer warrior, you ought to have a couple in your corner. You ought to have somebody you can call on and say, pray for me. I ain't got time to go through all the details. I ain't got time to explain everything to you. Just take my burdens to the Lord in prayer. Some lessons are caught and some lessons are taught. I'm sure the disciples taught them the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught them. They went to Jesus and asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. And now these new converts are coming to those old disciples and now apostles and asking them, y'all teach us to pray. I would do a poll right now, but I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And when was the last time you helped somebody else pray? I remember helping my grandson. That was my testimony. I helped my grandson. I work with my grandson. But you teach others to pray. How to go to the Lord sincerely in prayer. We living in a time now where people need to learn how to keep the faith. How to hold on in spite of the news. Need to hold on in spite of what Congress do. Hold on in spite of what the Supreme Court. Hold on regardless who's in the Oval Office. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Oh, they had to be taught, had to learn the ways of faith. And the apostles had to model it in front of them. They had to demonstrate what they were teaching. They couldn't just tell the story. They had to show how it applied in their lives. I can imagine Peter holding class some days and telling people, listen, I wasn't Peter when I started. I was Simon when I got started. It was Jesus that worked with me and turned me into Peter that I am today. See, some people think we were born this way. You know, ever since I've known Dr. Janet Bryan, she's always been holy. She's always been holy. And some people think that she's always been holy. But because I read the book, because I read the scripts, I know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. That's why we keep coming back. You know, if I ever get perfect, I'm going to just sit in the room and just stay there and wait on the Lord. I ain't going to eat. I ain't going to drink. I ain't going to blink. I'm trying not to think. I'm trying to just sit there and hold my ground. But it don't work that way. It don't work that way. We have to always, what we receive, we have to be prepared to give. Whatever we learn, we have to be prepared to teach. See, that's why church education is different than other education. Other education, you can just learn the information and move on. At least that's what I did, just get the information and move on. But church education, part of it is what we catch. See, don't tell me about the goodness of the Lord if you're falling out every time a storm breaks out. Don't tell me about the power of prayer. Every time an incident happens, you falling out. Don't tell me about what God has done in your life. But every time a storm blows in, you the first one that's falling out. You got to model what you believe. Jesus had told the disciples, go ye therefore and make disciples. And that's what the disciples were doing. Here, God has not only given them an opportunity to fulfill the command that he has given them, but he is also bringing up a new group of people to carry on the faith. The apostles were now transmitting to other people. Other people were teaching people. People were teaching people. They were sharing one with another. What they learned about the Lord, they were sharing with one another. They were letting their light shine before men. Yes, brothers and sisters, some things are taught. And then some things are caught. And you can't always sort between the two. You know, in church, it's important for us to model certain behavior. Model believing that while we have prayer, we have worship, we have service. But this ain't enough, what we do on Sunday, to sustain a growing Christian. A growing Christian needs these elements every day. You need prayer every day. You need praise every day. You need to give unto the Lord every day. And that's why we got to keep teaching. That's why we got to keep sharing. That's why we got to keep modeling before others. Growth and discernment through doctrine by committing themselves to the apostles' teaching, the early Christians demonstrated their commitment to growing. They wanted to grow. They wanted to be better. They wanted to be witnesses of the Lord. But one of the classes I liked most in this generation, this early church, was the God tracker test. You ever heard of that? How to track God? I know Google didn't know nothing about it until I put it in there. But tracking God is how we go through scripture looking for God's footprints and handprints and his action in the word of God. It helps us to see it in real time. Once you're able to pick up and track God through the stories that are provided in the scriptures, you're able to track God in the now. You're able to see what he's been up to and what he is doing. So the disciples had to teach them that there is one God who created all things. Humans are made in God's image but rebelled against him. You can see God move in sin and judgment. You can see God move by sending his only begotten son, Jesus, who became a man in order to save us from our sin. You can see him on the cross dying as a substitute for sinners and was raised from the dead by the power of God. And those who believe receive forgiveness and the newness of life. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ought to make you feel guilty sometimes. You know, I used to like Bluebell. Well, I used to love Bluebell. Couldn't go to bed without Bluebell in my stomach. I thought I had to have Bluebell before I went to bed. I thought that would have meant to be grow up in Texas. If you grew up in Texas, you have to have Bluebell before you go to bed. It just cools you down. But that Bluebell caught up to me. Thought outrunning me. Bluebell was catching. I had to get Bluebell before 6 o'clock, before the sun could go down. I couldn't deal with Bluebell once the sun went down. Once the sun went down, me and Bluebell had to separate. Now, I can't fool with you, Bluebell. Once the sun go down, I can deal with you in the sun, but I can't deal with you once the sun goes down. But in this life, that's what happens to us. As we grow, as we mature, we have to relate to God in different ways, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes a change in our lives. These new converts, they shared their understanding of the word, fostered deep bonds and unity among believers. See, you don't need to know everything, but you ought to know the right things. You need to know the important things. You need to know the essential things. Here, they shared in the same way they engaged communally in the study of God's word. They continued steadfastly, faithful to it. See, you can't get God's word just when you're broken down onto your last dime and don't see no way out. Now you need trusting in the Lord. No. The Lord is still God when you got a pocket full of money. He's still God when you got a good job and living in a good house. He's not God just when you're sick and down and out. And we got to be faithful in good and bad times. We have to be faithful and regular to our study of the word of God. They devoted themselves to this. The early believers, after the inspiration, after the falling, the dissension of the Holy Spirit, they made it part of their daily lives, the studying of God's word. So today, in essence, the early church gives us an example. It gives us a blueprint. It reminds us that consistent and dedicated study of the word of God is essential for building a strong foundation in our faith. It's essential for fostering spiritual growth. It is essential for strengthening our relationship within the Christian community. It's essential for our well-being. It's essential for our mental well-being. When we study the word of God, we can have trust and hope that God got it all under control. You know, this ain't the first time God has to deal with a bad leader. Amen. God got practice. Some of us ain't got practice. We don't know what we're doing. We're running around all frantic. But God got plenty of practice of dealing with economies. God got plenty of practice of dealing with government. God got plenty of practice of dealing with proud men. God got plenty of practice of dealing with people that will steal from the poor to give to the rich. God got plenty of practice. And that's why we don't have to get our hands in it. That's why we can turn it over to the Lord and watch the Lord work it out. We got plenty of kingdom business to do. I ain't got time for political business. I'm swamped with kingdom business. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. We pray that the Lord will send forth more laborers. More laborers that understand they're going to have some training. More laborers that understand they're going to need some instructions. Some laborers that understand how to follow directions. We need some laborers, but we need skilled laborers. Those that are skilled in dealing with people and holding on to what thus says the Lord. The early church, they practiced these disciplines, these fantastic final four, still exist today. From the beginning of the church, all the other stuff you can add in the mix with church, all the other stuff that come and gone down through the ages, down through the generations, all this stuff. But the reality is these final four are still a part of the church. We still are committed to the apostles' teaching and doctrine. Fantastic final four. Number one, study. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we're going to extend the invitation that may be someone here today. If you're online, we invite you to put in your comment as the deacons and the ushers and greeters come. We invite you to come. Amen. It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept. We pray that the Lord will bless us in our commitment. At this time, if you would, make yourselves ready for the administration of the Holy Communion.